Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And wow. What is going on in the world of markets? What is going on in the world of finance? Oh, yeah, right. We have more financial engineering. Now, courtesy of our buddy, Super Mario Draghi from the ECB. If it's not one central bank or it's another that's continuing to try to engineer the world. And of course, last week, interesting, we saw the potential capitulation bottom on Wednesday when the market was down over 500, followed by a rally Thursday, Friday. And, you know, I mean, the rally on Thursday and Friday, I can give credit to Mario Draghi for that. So one thing we know for sure, we still have not learned that the financial engineering package that they're trying to give us does not work. Now, you can look at it in many, many different ways. You can say, well, it's great for the ability to get cheap money, which is true. Okay. But cheap money never solved anybody's problems. And of course, it's just like, you know, when you don't pay down a credit card, the debt just keeps mounting. As the Fed and the other central banks continue to try to leverage up their positions. And as I say, and I will continue to say, this will not end pretty. And I think we saw a little taste of that the first half of the month, putting out our first monster winning week of the year of 100 points in the Dow. But of course, I think that you're probably coming right back to a sell. And remember that you heard it here on the Bubba Show always, is that bear market rallies always look the best. They look so tasty. How could I not want to participate in buying into this beautiful rally that just keeps going straight up and up and up with no look to the bottom? Well, I just want to remind you, go back and look at 2008. You had the same types of rallies. This is very much a repeat performance of the housing bubble, but now it will be the auto and student loan bubble. And one of the things that really irks me is the comparison of crude to the markets. Now, again, crude oil is definitely related to the market, but not the oil itself and not the demand itself, but the number of employees that they have to lay off because of business being so poor and lack of demand. Now, if you could take that to any spot of the commodity markets. Do you think that farmers are hiring a lot of farmhands right now when they're losing money on every bushel that they take out of the ground? Do you think that the cattle ranchers and the producers there are thrilled with the way cattle has come down in price? I think not. I think that what you're seeing is that the commodity space in general is creating the pressure on the market. We might want to say that it's oil, but of course, oil has had a rally. And of course, you know from listening to this show that we have been a fan of oil in the 20s here. And, you know, again, maybe it'll make a little run down. I don't know. I'm not saying that it will or it won't. I'm saying that longer term, I want to be an owner of commodities. Longer term, I do not believe the dollar can hold up the strength there, especially considering that we know that, or we speculate that a lot of the banks are short the dollar. We know that this financial engineering business that is on cannot last forever. So at some point, when do you say enough is enough? Now, again, I'm not telling you to sell anything. And for, in fact, as you know, which I have said many times, I don't sell, I just hedge. And I want to be hedged around my portfolio so I don't have to worry about what's going on with the overall market. I like not thinking about it. I like sleeping at night, not worried about if the market is going to collapse or not the next day because I can compound my portfolio out. But overall, what you need to be thinking about is where are we in the overall cycle? Okay, bear versus bull market. And we are in one of the longest bull markets in history, one of the biggest percentage gainers in history. And at some point, the markets will have to decide that enough is enough. Now, this may not be the point, and we could certainly go up to new highs, and there's certainly people who will make that case. But my question for you is, are they making that case because they're trying to get you to invest so they can get their fees? Or are they making that case because they really believe it? I can't believe that we could go much higher than we are. I mean, you know, certainly, you know, the what we've lost, we could maybe recover. But overall, do you really see a scenario that indicates that the markets are going to continue to go higher and that we're going to see the free money continue to take over when we all know that we're lacking growth? I mean, do we want to be a part of the group that has been saying, oh, well, we're missing growth, so we can continue to go higher. We've got lousy jobs, so we can continue to go higher. We've got a middle class that's being destroyed, so we can continue to go higher because, you know, as Marie Antoinette says, off with their heads, let them eat cake. And, you know, are we going to continue to watch the disintegration of the middle class, the disintegration of all jobs in this country that make any money? You know, you have to look at it from an overall perspective. And the perspective is that if you're in the commodity space in any way, shape, or form, you are getting crunched because you are not able to export those goods because your dollars are too strong. So who's going to buy them? So what does that do? It continues to push down the prices of soybeans, wheat, and corn. Now, again, I happen to be a fan and own those. But do we think that at some point that'll turn around? Yeah, but again, at what point and what damage will have been done to the overall economy? How many retailers are going to be out of business? How many grocery stores are going to be out of business because they're not getting the money? You know, we always forget about the unintended consequences of actions that are taken that try to manipulate price. You cannot manipulate price. You always get trapped eventually, because many have tried and failed. And if we think that this time is different, you better think again, because it is never different. Markets are going to do what markets are going to do. And the sad thing here is that we don't have the ability to let free markets trade. We don't have a Federal Reserve that has the guts to let the markets trade and determine what the fair price happens to be. Now, you continue to see bonds falling down, even though there's talk of rate increases. But I will put this out here now. The 10-year note, which is trading right around 2% now, ducked under 2% last week for a couple of days, will be at probably 1.5% at some point this year. Why? Because the only way to survive this is to get some more cheap money out there. Now, again, I don't agree with the philosophy of what the Fed is doing. I think they're totally lost. I think they're incompetent. I think they've done a brutal job at handling the overall economy. I think it's going to sting for quite a while. And I think that the best way to get done is to let it happen, let the markets do their thing, and let markets decide what the right price is, not the banks, not Janet Yellen, not Mario Draghi, not the People's Bank of China, but let the markets decide what the fair price is, because engineering, especially the financial kind, just never works. Okay. Again, you can try it all you want. We've all tried it within even our own household budgets. And what do you end up with? You end up with a big credit card bill. You end up with a mess. So remember that financial engineering, manipulation, dollar wars or currency wars will not work, and that the only true answer is free markets that discover their own price, because at the end of the day, that's what tells you what products are worth, and no other form of manipulation ever works when you try to do it. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Go to libertytalk.fm and check out The Bubba Show on demand every day. In the meantime, we're going to step out of a break.
Stay with me now. Listen up. This is philosophical. Mud grips wide.
Welcome back to the Bubba. Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it is time for our friend, one of the greatest, the great one. Well, that was Jackie Gleason, but this isn't Jackie Gleason. This is better than Jackie Gleason. Our friend Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, and getting ready to get braced for that big snowstorm that's coming. What's up, Jane King?
I am, well, two things. I'm glad that it's going to be on a weekend because it's trying to get to work and a snowstorm or a blizzard is just such a massive headache. So I'm glad it's a weekend, and I'm upset that, like, D.C. is getting 2 feet of snow, and I think New York's only going to get about 8 inches. I went to go out and play in the snow. The kids have their, like, snow pants sitting out, their boots, they're ready. We were going to go to the park, like, sled and all that stuff tomorrow. So I think we're still going to have enough snow to do that, but not going to get the big stuff that D.C. is getting.
You'll have some fun, but, you know, it's always fun to play out in the snow, and, of course, the people in the markets have been having fun as well, and we've had some obviously wild, extreme movements, which is not surprising. And, you know, Jane, you're in the media, and you're also understand markets, and you know what's going on, and we see, you know, a lot of wild things happening. Of course, on Wednesday, you saw a market that looked like it was going to go to zero, and then all of a sudden, somebody flipped on a switch and said, okay, that's enough, let's start taking them up, and we had a massive rally, and of course, Draghi came out and made his super speech. What's your take of all the market action right now?
Well, I thought of you when Mario Draghi gave his speech and talked about economic stimulus. There's more to come. We'll use every tool we have if necessary, and everything turned around. I was like, here we go again. I mean, this market is so dependent on stimulus, and I think the market knows. The market knows that we can't survive on our own without economic stimulus, and that's, you know, unfortunate, but that's the world we live in, and that was what it took. I mean, I don't know when everything's just going to collapse and governments aren't going to be able to help anymore, but it's going to happen at some point in the future, and you know, here we go again. So I guess expect more, and I think at some point, you know, Janet Yellen will have to join along, especially if things get worse and we see China possibly, you know, coming in, helping their economy more. Europe, we know they're ready and willing to do it, and I can't imagine that the U.S. Fed won't follow along.
I mean, it is kind of scary that we can't get our own growth and build the way that you're supposed to build, which obviously will lead to a much bigger disaster. But, you know, we haven't talked about this for a few weeks, but, you know, I know your family's in the farming community, and of course, the grain prices are just basically in the toilet, along with the rest of the commodity space. And, you know, we are starting to see a little bit of lift off in oil after all the networks during the week wanted to continue to talk about spot oil, you know, because it was $26 instead of the real price, which was $28. Do you see this commodity collapse ending anytime soon? I mean, is there anything, any signs you're seeing that indicate that maybe the commodities will eventually catch a bidder, or are they going to stay down here in the tank?
Well, I think we have seen them catch a little bit of a bid, and maybe, you know, one thing you learn in the futures market is low prices cure low prices and high prices cure high prices. So we're low, and we might see a bump up. I don't expect any major rally. We're not going to go back to, you know, 2007, 2008 anytime soon. China doesn't have the growth that it did. I don't imagine that will change in the near future. China, of course, leading, I think, all this deflation that we've seen. So, you know, maybe we've seen enough, although interesting to see BP's boss yesterday saying $10 a barrel oil was not impossible. That was like a headline that really got a lot of attention. So, and, you know, he's the head of BP. I mean, he assumed that he would know what's going on with oil prices. So, you know, there may be some more downside to go at some point, but I think we've probably seen the selling for now. That day this week when oil was down 7% after it had already been beaten down, I was like, okay. It just felt like it was getting washed out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead. I apologize. I didn't mean to cut. Go ahead.
That's okay. No, I was, you know, pretty much done with the thought. I just, when I saw that big of a drop after it already been down so much, I was like, okay, that seems like the last of the sellers coming out, and we're probably going to see a rebound for a few days, maybe a few months.
You know, everybody forgets, you know, we had a booming economy when oil was $9 a barrel, you know, back in the 90s. I mean,
well, in the 90s, yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, we're not that far removed. I mean, you know, oil first only started to make this recent move, you know, in about 2003, 2004. when we saw oil start to dramatically go higher. And of course, you know, somebody said to me the other day, I go, well, I'm a buyer of oil here at, you know, at 25. And I go, you know, I'm going to step in here and buy. And you know, I've been buying it all along down here at these levels. And they go, but why can't it go back tonight? I said, go anywhere. I mean, I'm not telling you it's not going to go down, but based on what's going on, I mean, I was a seller originally on the way up at 25. Now I'm a buyer. It's just the way markets work and the way that they function. But overall, mm-hmm. I mean, we're not seeing a lot of great stuff happening. And again, I'm not sounding the alarm bell, but you know, but now, you know, is oil catching a bit now because we're getting a little bit of cold snap? Did they overshoot to the downside because we didn't have weather? You know, one of the things is, now I can never blame weather for retail sales because you can buy online. You don't have to go out. But, you know, weather, if it's too hot in this winter and you don't use heat, you're not using oil. That's one of the big sources of using for demand. So now we're getting a little bit of a cold snap. You're seeing a little bit of a pickup in oil. I mean, that just makes logical sense. So why do we always make such a big deal about things that really are not important when the things that are important, like, you know, what we need to do, are we forget about those things because we're so worried about, is Mario Draghi going to do something? Is the China going to hold up their markets? Is Janet Yellen going to come out and speak? When the truth is, everything always comes down back to the same thing. Are we going to get some growth? Are we going to see some real earnings for real people, not companies, but for real people? Because so far the earnings have not been so good either.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it depends on just, you know, the media and the news cycle. And, you know, we're forced every day to talk about what's new and why, you know, we have to come up with reasons for why the market does what it does, you know, even sometimes when it just doesn't make sense. And it's hard to explain. So I think that's part of it. And some of the day-to-day noise gets a lot more attention than it should. But there's bigger questions, you know, about earnings and long-term productivity and, you know, the macro questions that, you know, the country's future rides on. You know, we talk about them in the media, but it's not as much day-to-day, I think, just because we're driven by the news cycle. So, you know, it does get distorted. I think the information gets distorted. I think how we see the markets gets distorted. But, you know, we're talking about oil in the late 90s. Then we look at today, and, you know, one thing I've learned is that, like, you have to take every situation, and, you know, we've seen China become huge. I mean, it has become, in the late 90s, China was just kind of emerging. Now it's the second largest economy in the world, so it makes much more of a difference now, their buying, than it did in the late 90s. Not like the late 90s was much, it was productivity-driven, tech-driven, you know, stock market was high, interest rates were high, you had a much stronger economy then. And now, it's a totally different situation, and just doesn't, it's more global now, too, than it was back then as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, we are definitely a global economy. We are all tied together. But one of the biggest complaints I have from a standpoint, you know, you hear somebody come out with earnings and they go, well, but the U.S. dollar was too strong, so our sales weren't as good overseas. And I go, but wait a second. In today's global economy with all the products that are out there, you could easily hedge off against the risk of the dollar. So why don't those companies think about it? Or is, in your opinion, is that just an excuse so they don't have to report good earnings?
Well, maybe. I mean, we know weather is used as an excuse. I mean, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too nice. You know, it's just, I mean, every weather scenario can be used as an excuse for the retail sector. So, yeah, I mean, it could be. I know there are some companies that do hedge, but, you know, maybe that's just one facet of their business. They, you know, it's like, well, look, we're running everything else, doing this accounting, we're marketing, we're trying to get the product mix right. And, you know, we just didn't think about hedging. You know, interesting, Draghi yesterday, they're going to do more stimulus. I mean, that's going to make the dollar even stronger. So we could be seeing more of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's there's just so many things going on, and it makes it a challenge because we do get a little bit cluttered with what real growth and real life is about, and that's always a problem. And you just came back from a whirlwind tour. How are you seeing economies in other places in the United States?
Well, I was in San Francisco, so it's interesting because, I mean, all I've ever heard is San Francisco, boom, 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 and I just stayed in the city. I didn't go out to any of the, you know, Silicon Valley or anything. But San Francisco has, you know, some bad areas, some scary areas. You know, I was a little surprised about that. Has some, you know, open storefronts. I don't think as much as I see in New York or in other cities I've been to, but I was surprised to even see that because it just seems like there's such a robust economy. And so, you know, every place has its issues, and no place is perfect. And they're all just kind of, you know, got their own microeconomies going on. You know, of course, tech in Silicon Valley, you know, energy in Texas, real estate in media in New York, you know, finance. So everybody's, I don't think anybody is so was totally comfortable right now. I think everybody's still got their issues.
Jane King, thank you very much. Jane King, the Lilamex Media, the Ka-Ching Report. You're awesome. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Todd.
This has been Jane King from Lilamex Media, the Ka-Ching Report. This is The Bubba Show. Get on demand at libertytalk.fm. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Margie said, Roy.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for my man, Mike McClone, my A number one analyst, the man who's got it all, has got all the answers. So, Mr. McClone, an extremely volatile week. We've seen a pickup in oil all of a sudden. As everybody was flushing oil down the toilet, we now see oil popping. We see gold's catching a slight bid here. What is your take of the overall situation, sir?
Short-term sold out. That move on Wednesday, right around lunchtime, when the Dow was down 500 and the VIX got above 30, was a classic short-term capitulation bottom. Question's how long it lasts. So the key thing I was watching, I'm keeping a close eye on the weekly charts. It's something I've always done because it really takes the distortion away from the daily charts. And the small cap index, the IWM, reached a pretty significant oversold level. I watched the Bollinger Bands on a 50-week moving average, and they reached the lowest level since 2012 in terms of being stretched from the mean. So that was pretty extreme. You had the QQQs get well below 100, which is pretty good support, and oil dropping to 26 in the front contract. And it's also as part of the shift over to the next contract. So to me, that's a pretty good extreme, but we have to be careful. For the short term, don't sell here. For traders, it might be good to look to pick up a few trading spots for buying, and for investors, I think, wait for better levels to sell.
All right, and I think that this is probably, if the rally continues a little bit, I think it's probably a fairly opportune time to go ahead and sell a little bit. I mean, I do see what you saw, but also, once again, we had on Thursday our good friend Super Mario decide that, well, you know, we're gonna go back to or continue to whatever it takes, and we gotta keep this financialing up. Now, I don't know if these guys all got engineering degrees or if they just decided that they wanted to become financial engineers, but they're doing a hell of a job trying to keep the markets afloat between all the manipulation through everywhere. What's your take of all that stuff?
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate you mentioning it. It scares me, and I think at some point the market, I think, has already reached the inflection point where we're going to get short-term rallies from Fed or central bank rhetoric about providing excessive and more liquidity and stuff. But in the longer term, I think the market gets it. The buy on dips mentality for the last 5-6 years, I'm pretty sure, has shifted to sell rallies. And I think think the central banks are going to find that out the hard way. And part of that is markets just can only be manipulated so much. And this rally in the U.S. stock market the last 5 years was historic. I mean, we're still 25% or so above the 2007 and 2000 highs, and it was that QE3 that really got us up to 2100 in S&P 500. And to get back to where we started QE3, which was around 1400, is a pretty long way. And I think that's what the market's going to do, unfortunately. And I don't think people get it yet, and you and I as traders get it. And it's not always about, oh, the economy is doing fine. And, you know, Milton Friedman says, please don't confuse the stock market with the economy. It's just the market's gone too far. It's probably going to seek its own level. Unfortunately, hopefully not, but that's, I think, is what we're in the midst of.
I got to ask you a question. Now, you know, you say unfortunately not, and, you know, I watch the pundits, you know, on TV continue to cheerlead the market higher. The truth be known, at least in my opinion, but I'd like to get your opinion, is a good healthy sell-off, a good healthy crack would be good for the overall companies, the overall market, and actually build some underlying strength over time. Isn't that the way it always works? And am I wrong, or isn't that the best thing for the market, is to actually weed out some of the weak garbage that's been hanging around on free money and things like that, and actually get back into real growth and real strong companies?
Exactly. I think in the long term, absolutely, that's what we're going to need. But it's a short term pain. It might last 5 years, and I'm really worried about it. And that is partly because our central bank decided that they wanted to really accelerate this recovery rather than, you know, let it happen more organically. And by doing so, the main thing that they distorted was the equity market. And the problem is we found out in many times in history, is when the equity market goes down, when it goes up too fast, it always comes back down too much. And it's the repercussions when it comes down too much that I'm really worried about it might last a while. And it's also these trends that have been happening with consumers in this country for the last 2 years now. Like we've been pointing out, despite the significant decline in energy prices, overall retail sales have been declining. Industrial production has been declining. Obviously, we're seeing declines in the inflation indications. But the indications are the U.S. consumer is already starting to shut down and pull in. And when they start seeing the equity market and all their statements and 401ks decline, that's a big problem. And I've been hearing that as far as percentage of assets, Americans right now are pretty near the highest levels they've been at the peaks in history as far as equities being a percentage of their assets. So it's the confidence that I'm really concerned about, and the iterations of negativity that I'm concerned will likely kick in, all led by the thing that's most distorted in our markets, and that's the stock market, which, like the housing market was, 10 years ago.
Listen, it's an inflated asset balloon that I don't care what anybody says. This is an asset bubble, and even though the economists will not admit to the fact that it's an asset bubble, I will bet you, I mean, I don't know if we'll both be alive to see it, but I will bet you that in history this will go down as an asset bubble when it finally pops. But the difference is, and this is, I think, an important issue that everybody needs to understand, is Mike has been on here week after week saying, hey, maybe you should go into some cash, maybe you should need to be out. So we don't have to have destruction as retail investors, as individuals. We have the opportunity to turn our profits right now and take it in cash. The problem is greed always kicks in. But I cannot feel sorry for people that are greedy and refuse to take money off the table and put it away and wait for a better opportunity, or to what I suggest on the other side is to hedge that portfolio so that they're not at exposure to the risk of the market. But if the market falls, so what? Listen, if you're not willing to take your money and take your profit, then that's your problem and you're being greedy. And either hedge it or take it, but know that most likely the next big move will probably be to the downside. So why do we feel bad or make excuses for the market when we know that that's the natural cycle of any market? So again, I understand your concern for the average guy, but the average guy has every opportunity, just like they did in 08, to take money off the table right now, okay, or hedge it, and not be exposed to anything that's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 years. So why is it that we should feel bad for them?
Well, exactly. We shouldn't. We should focus on, in this program, which we do focus on, seeking and finding every opportunity we can to take advantage and perform the best in the markets. And to me, this is a great opportunity. And maybe because we think of it more as a trader. So when you're a trader, you can semi-accurately feel like what's going to happen in the market. What do you do about it? What can you do to make sure your family and your finances don't suffer and benefit the most. And that's what I've been focusing on, high levels of cash. I love U.S. Treasuries, TLT, still love that market. I've been loving that for 2 years, still like that. Don't like the stock market at all. I don't know why. And the thing that I'm really watching for the next signal is the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar is so ripe to move. It's locked in a very narrow range. The trend's up. It should go up. But all that is really predicated on the fact that everybody expects the Fed to ease. So I'm looking for the next opportunity in the markets to benefit and to not get hurt. I'm kind of watching that. Once the U.S. dollar makes its next move, it should be something we go with. And I think the key thing we need to watch is if it breaks out up its status quo, it's the same. The Fed's going to be tightening. It's probably bad for the stock market, whatever. But if it breaks down, which I suspect at some point it's going to happen, it's because the market's finally going to discount the fact that the Fed will be not tightening, but easing. So I'm kind of watching for preliminary indications from the market. Like you and I have been watching the commodity market forever. In the commodity market, all we've really seen is deflation migration from the commodity market into the stock market. And that means there's a lot more to go in the stock market. So kind of just looking forward and seeing what we can find. What are the opportunities? What are things we can watch? And that's kind of the key thing I've been watching right now. Before it was, you know, I was watching TLT, waiting for that to break out. And that looks like it's broken out. It's pulling back a little bit, but it's probably trending higher. Watching the dollar at the moment.
And of course, you know, those are things that you have to watch. But again, that does go back to, you know, financing and business is a very simple thing, especially for the individual investor. And it just, you know, you're at a point in time, the market's had a historic rise for, you know, 7 years. We've had, it doesn't matter why it's up. One of the things we always talk about is it doesn't matter why it's up where it's at. It doesn't matter how it got there. But if you've been in and didn't and weren't forced out, then you have a chance to take advantage of this market by doing one of two things: moving into some safer asset classes, hedging what you have so you can stay in without losing it. So we have to worry about the average guy, and you know, that's where they have to make that hard decision to move over and create the endowment model that they're trying to create. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Long-term beneficial. I mean, one thing is certainly if our listeners have stayed away from the equity market, they can buy things now, generally equity market, at 10% or so less than they were just a few months ago, which is beneficial. Now, obviously, we're far from perfect. We get a few things wrong, but at least that's something they can consider. Unfortunately, we both think we're probably going to drop another 10, 20%, unfortunately. But what I'm worried about is, for our listeners, is a potential slowdown in the economy that might result from this. And that's why we all have to protect ourselves.
Right. But again, I don't like to use the word unfortunately, because again, we as human beings have a choice to take decision and take that part of the equation away. Anyways, we're going to get ready to stop out for a break. When we come back, Mr. McClone, this is what I have a question for you. I have it from sources that I talk to quite a bit that the big banks are massively short the U.S. dollar. Not a little bit short, but massively short the U.S. dollar. So when we come back, I want to talk about the U.S. dollar and what your opinion of that is. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm with my guy, my friend, my man, Mike McClone. Always here to take care of you. Really just lays it out honest. And it's unusual that you have not only a guy who's like an economist, but that was a trader that understands the overall markets. If you ever miss a show, you can always go to libertytalk.fm and get the on-demand podcast version. We do that as well. We're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with our friend Mike McClone as he answers the all-important question, are the banks short dollars? The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. To the land of the pines, I'm thumbing my way. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my guy, Mike McClone, chief analyst, knows it all, been around, been very on top of this entire market move. And all right, Mr. McClone, so before we went to break, I said to you, I have it, and again, I'm good sources. I have it on people that I know that I respect. They're telling me that the U.S. banks, the big banks, like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, are massively short the U.S. dollar. What's your take? Opinion? None? What do you think?
Well, I don't really know how we could measure that, because my experience in the U.S. dollar and trading currencies was at a hedge fund, and virtually all the trading on the currencies is done over the counter with banks. I mean, there's futures markets, but they're very lightly traded. They're really not used, not like the commodities markets are in futures markets I use for commodities. So I don't really know how that can be measured. And as far as being short, I don't really know how that would come about, because the dollar, you get short when the market maybe is against you, or you get a lot of buyers and you're not hedging. But I look at the U.S. dollar as, I don't know how that, and if that's true, first of all, it's more likely that the dollar is going to break out higher. But it's also, I think, like to look at the dollars, how you measure it. U.S. dollar is generally measured against a bunch of other currencies. And the most widely traded ETF, where our investors, our listeners can really get involved, is the UUP. It's a dollar exchange traded fund. I've been watching that one for years, and that's when I've really been watching. It looks like it's ready for a breakout, but it's also uniquely has a very similar pattern as it did back in 2008, which would imply that, who knows what can happen, but I think as far as, like we mentioned earlier, one market to really watch is this ETF or the U.S. dollar for next indications. And if we get, it's more like, it could be a leading indicator that if the market starts perceiving that all this Fed tightening that's priced in will not be happening, then that index, so the U.S. dollar, might be one of the first ones to collapse. But also a key thing to remember, the U.S. dollar is measured against other currencies. And that's where the issue is. Right now, it's like the healthiest horse in all the, with amongst all the sick horses. I like to look at the U.S. dollar versus something that's really solid and physical that has no other, no one else's currency. That's against silver and gold. And that might be the key thing to look forward to.
So let's talk about that for a minute, Mike. Now, again, you're talking about fiat currencies where they all float against each other. Are you a fan of the fiat currency model, or would you rather see currencies backed by something?
Well, that is an issue for the real economists and professionals. And I think what's happening is there's a decent amount of people out there who think they should be backed by something. But for now, for so far so good, it's post 1971 issue when the U.S. stopped backing its currency with gold has worked out, I guess, in some cases okay. But one thing that's really changed is gold was back then a really difficult thing to exchange because you had to physically move it. Now it can be done electronically. You can exchange gold through futures, through OTC options with obligations to deliver. And I think that's what I think most people are worried about is if this currency war continues, which it potentially will, where every country in the world is trying to debase their currency as economies collapse, we might need some form of physical backing. And that's where Jim Rickards comes into play. So I'm kind of more watching it and waiting. And I think I look at it more as an investor standpoint. Regardless of what happens, what we should do is make sure we at least have some of our investments in solid physical assets like gold and silver.
Oh, no, I definitely agree. Again, I talk about them as hard assets. To me, they're not protection plays against anything, but they are good hard assets that you own. And, there's going to be a price discovery model on that. And, if it's worth more, you can sell it. But you wouldn't buy gold as you would buy a future in the market to trade it. You'd buy gold because you wanted to own some physical gold because you wanted to own a hard asset, correct?
Correct. And I think there's different ways to own gold. You can use futures. You can use actual physical gold, jewelry, and ETFs. ETFs are easy, most fluent, and they're pretty safe. You can put them in your 401ks and your retirement accounts. But I think it's diversification. There's times you're supposed to probably be overweight gold. And now I think is one of those times you're supposed to be overweight gold. Now, back when in 2011, when everything was horrible, you probably were supposed to be taking profits, at 1900. But when gold's here at 1100, I think we're supposed to be overweight gold as investors, as I think it looks probably likely best for underweight stocks.
So, as you look at, the whole situation and is your background in ETFs and you're one of the experts in the ETF space and you say that some are good, are there some that you would stay away from in the ETF space? Or are they all fairly equally treated? What is your take of the over ETF space?
Well, it depends on your time frame. Absolutely. I definitely want to stay away from anything that loses money. I don't ever know that. But the leveraged ETFs, I think, for buy and hold should never be really used for buy and hold investors for more than who knows a long period. If you buy a 1, 2, or 3 times either long or short ETF, that's, I think, okay for traders in the short term and people who are looking for hedges. But buying and hold might be very much of a problem. Always look at your expense ratios. Like I mentioned, UUP. Now, I'm not an advocate of any buying or selling of UUP, but you have to look at the expense ratio. If you buy this, it's going to cost you 80 basis points a year, which means, you know, for every $100, that's 80 cents. It's not a lot, but you have to watch that. That will cost you over time. So just be careful with leverage ETFs. Always read prospectuses, always. And that's probably more for the shorter term hedger or speculator types.
All right. So, you know, here we are, and, you know, the markets have certainly come off, and we're in, you know, that correction territory. But what nobody's really talking about, Mike, is even though last year was down, you know, that's what we'll call it flat. We'll call last year a flat year. This year, obviously, we're seeing some pain. But underneath the hood, if we look deeper into the model of last year, we've had an enormous amount of stocks that were already in bear market territory. So what does that say to you overall? And what do you think about where that's going to lead us in the future?
Yeah, I think last year was a bit of the coal and the canary in the coal shaft as a warning sign. And now we have a lot of head scratching where, you know, you listen to a lot of these interviews from Davos and all the CEOs and think they don't get it. And, you know, that's one thing Milton Friedman warned us about. You can't always equate the economy with the stock market. I think this is more of a strategist move. The economists generally don't get this. And we talked about this earlier. I'm not an economist. I really look at it as a strategist. And it's a simple fact that when things go too far, they come back. And I think that's what last year was the first indication of cracks in the armor. And I think this year, January, obviously we're down a little too much, is just an indication that batten down the hatches, and this is probably going to be a bad year. Hopefully not, where we're going to just kind of come, markets will seek their own levels. And I view it as like 2007 in the housing market. So, you know, as far as last year, sometimes these things happen, take a lot longer than you expected, and it obviously did for me. But then when it happens, like people saw The Big Short, you know, you realize the hardest thing to do is have a strong opinion. And almost generally, you're wrong for a while. People will admonish you for that. But you have to hold on to it, especially if you know you're going to be right and you want to help them. And in the long term, this is what I think is happening now, is that pain is over of us really warning people. Now I think it's happening.
But I have to beg to differ, not with you, but in general with the guys from Davos and the CEOs, I don't see the business. I mean, again, it shows up in the numbers when you're not making growth numbers, when you're not building, when the middle class is still struggling and the jobs that they're creating are not good. Where am I missing the big picture here of growth?
No, I don't think you are. And that's one thing we always have to be cognizant of, especially us and our listeners, is people who make these type of speeches and pronunciations and stuff, and what is their vested interest? And virtually always it is the vested interest of a CEO to be optimistic and positive, and they almost always will. It's oftentimes the hedge fund managers who are the guys who are out there just trying to do what we're trying to do, and that's survive well in this market, are the ones to listen to. So you got to be very careful who you listen to and what they say, and oftentimes they will give you the wrong impression because they're supporting their company and their business. And that's one thing I have to, you know, we have to be careful. You and I know, we'll just analyze the data. What does the data tell us? And the data shows that this U.S. consumer, at least the global, we see it, the U.S. consumer is retrenching. Any extra penny they have, they're not spending, unfortunately. They're putting in the bank and saving. They're working extra hard just to get by.
Mike McClone, as always, you have hit the nail on the head. We always appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
This has been our friend, our good friend, Mike McClone. He is, again, an ex-trader, an analyst, an ETF specialist, knows the markets backwards and forwards. So make sure you pay attention to the things that he said. We didn't tell you to do anything specific, but we did tell you the one thing is to always defend your portfolio and defend your assets. This has been The Bubba Show. And again, we spent some time with Mike McClone. We want to remind you that anytime you miss a show, you can always go to libertytalk.fm and pick up the show on demand. They're all there posted for you. Also want to remind you to check out BubbaTrading.com and check out our hedging program, because again, this is the time to be defending your portfolio, whether you're liquidating or you're going to lock it up with a hedge. That'll do it for today, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Watch. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Good night. Feel its way. Wanna
feel its way. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.